I game mastered at London RPG Community. I don't know how much it's applied by other game masters, like the one on 13 Age or Vampire the Masquerade, but what I thought was fascinating as a game master is that the sessions are 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And that pretty much based on Kantas, when I ran my Star Wars D6, I went with the assumption that players might be there for several sessions, but they could drop off or drop in as they wanted.
Yeah.
As a game master, it's fascinating because you prepare your session much differently. I mean, I've been trimming out like crazy my Tatooine Manor scenario. And second, as a player, I find it liberating because, I love many clubs here in London, but it doesn't fit my availability to commit to a quarter of a year to play games on a weekly basis and so on. So how did the structure came out, and what do you think of that format of role-playing?
For 3 hours, frankly, 7 till 10 on an evening is about what most people can make. Like, there's... people have busy lives, and we've kind of gone with that in mind. People have busy lives. I have a busy life. I'd love to be playing on the Thursday games as well, but I can't. I'm busy. Yes. Indeed, playing the viola. I thought for a second Dasha was miming the world's smallest violin for me, but no, she was in fact just mentioning that I also play the viola. But...
so you could literally play the world's smallest violin if we had it with us.
I could not, because it's too small. They once made a nano harp out of a red blood cell, but that's probably something to cut.
What did it sound like?
I don't know. Quite high-pitched. Anyway, the idea that people can drop in and out. Yes, we did this partially because, like I mentioned before, people couldn't interact with each other, so we wanted games where you could... it didn't matter which group you were in, and so it doesn't matter if you drop in or drop out. We've had one character who has been playing with us since season 1 of Cantus, so like very early on, and he's still like level 9. Grimes, yeah. He's still just chugging along at a kind of mid-level because he can only make it every so often, and that's fine. He's still a real member of the group. He's this steadfast member of the City Watch. He's great. Love him. But he doesn't get as much playtime, and that's perfect for this. In terms of how you prepare sessions differently, yeah, as a player... you are not going to go through all of your stuff. I can throw everything at you, and a wizard is not going to go through all of their spell slots, especially when they get to higher levels. So you know that the players can bring everything they've got. So you can turn up the difficulty sometimes a little bit more. Oh, yes. It's why we're currently throwing giants at players.
Giants! New.
Oh, yes. And honestly, that's a very hard encounter.
But it is.
You'll get through it because you only have one or two encounters in a session. And you plan... like, I've now got into the habit, because running, 100 or something counter sessions by this point, you get into the habit of, like, oh, you've got a three-hour session, so I need to have... this is what I want to do. This is the plot. One encounter here, a bit of RP, and ask them to make a plan that will take up half an hour. Done. Next session. You can really cram it into, like, half a page of notes. Or those times when you forget your notes and you just have to make it up, which is fine.
What's funny I find is I had this with Star Wars D6, and as a game master, I had it as a player. It's not an issue, but I thought it was interesting that having players starting to haggle about the price of a horse at the beginning of a session is munching so much of your game session. As a player, I was like, really? It's like... we're an hour in. We really need to go.
Yeah.
We don't care about this horse. And as a game master, I was very strict. Like, yeah, no. Yeah, you go. And since it's Star Wars, it was like, and you're there. No travel, no camping, no. After 2 days of travel, you are there. Like in a movie, it's very fast.
All who learn to love in life are lost, allayed by lies of lilac-locked lass and lad. They long for links, not limitless legends, left their languid, lacking impulse leading on. unless alone, aloof, unlaid, leave their lust at last for lauded, splendid lights. Close the book. So that's kind of what I've written.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Of course, we knew that because we were your fans all along.
But yeah. It's so different hearing it from the person themselves.
Your voice really makes it pop.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try. I've practiced that one.
As they're having this conversation, I'd like to have a look around the room and look for stuff which seems more concrete.
There's a bookshelf.
Yeah, especially looking for stuff which would have a connection to martial things.
Maybe a perception check.
Yeah, investigation.
I'll accept that.
Do we have inspiration?
You do not have inspiration. You have not done a write-up from a previous session. For the podcast, that's how you get inspiration in the Cantus Expanse.
But I'm producing and editing this podcast.
Yes.
Which means you think that's enough, Callum?
Which means
I don't know,
next time you have us on, you'll have inspiration.
Do you want to be released before or after Dragon Meat 2019? Okay, 9 then, I guess.
Oh, you guess.
13.
You don't find anything martial related. However, what you both find is in the next room, the door, which you would imagine is the back door to the house, is glowing with that grey mist, just like the door that you came in through.
I would like to open it.
There's not even a door in there. It is just a doorway of mist.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I will return swiftly and cast message to Thamira and say, there is another portal in the other room.
As you say that, you see Bodar giving you the thumbs up, nodding, and then jumping through.
And your brother just went in. So maybe wrap up with a poet?
Oh, actually, that makes total sense, actually. This is just one of the many lives. A pleasure to meet you finally. Been a big fan since many years ago. Now we have to leave.
Yes, I see.
We won't intrude on you any longer.
One of the children speaks for the first time, just putting their hands on their parent. Zaza, are they leaving? And Pren says, it does feel like it's been so long since I've had guests. Are you sure you won't stay a while longer?
If we can
come. The air starts to pick up a little bit more.
Oh, sure, we'll stay. That's fine.
We could have you for dinner.
Yeah, dinner sounds nice. I wink. Do you have a bathroom? I need to wash my hands.
Make me a deception check.
20 total.
Oh, of course. It's just round the back near the kitchen. And points you actually towards the door, in fairness.
I'll be right back. Looking forward to that dinner.
Great.
I walk out of the room and cast message to Cheryl now. Say, please leave now.
I want to go and tune my harp a little bit, because I would love to work with you a little bit more on poetry and maybe applying some music. I think that might be the thing that will help.
That would be very interesting. I've never collaborated with a musician before.
I would love to collaborate with you. Is it okay if I go into the other room to just disturb you?
Of course, make me a deception check.
Don't leave me alone.
Oh, we good, fam. That is a 24.
Absolutely. You are also gestured back that way. By all means, go in tune. So it'll be so good to have you round. As you can hear more poetry, you'll meet all of the family. I'm sure that... Am I dead?
No. How can you be dead if you are with your family in your house? That makes no sense.
I suppose. I
start flamboyantly gesturing very largely, and one of my hands will gesture towards the kitchen in a leave.
I go through the portal.
Mm. I stand just by the portal and looking at the mirror.
Thelonious, I absolutely forgot. Would you give this to Miss Zina? She always uses it when she's in the bathroom.
What is this?
It's cocaine. No.
Make me a deception check.
What are you holding?
A component pouch?
I'm swapping
like
dice.
The bone dust?
0. Wow.
Oh, sorry. No, it's charisma. So, 1.
Pren says, wait. You're lying to me, aren't you? This is... They kind of look around urgently. Why are you in my soul? Make me a charisma saving throw. You see the air inside begin to swirl. The air in the room begins to crackle with some kind of energy.
Would I place that as a spell being cast?
Yeah.
Yeah?
In a non-specific way, a magical effect is occurring.
Well, I want to cast counter spell.
Mm.
I would allow it in this case, okay. Although I'll give you a spell attack roll for it.
Fourth level, counter spell, 10.
I'll give you partial for that. You kind of reach out as this energy begins to swirl and they look at you. You feel this weight of sadness just hit you, this loneliness and desperation as they project their own emotions onto you. As that happens, Xena, you reach out, try and counter this effect. You don't quite understand what it is. You don't quite know what spell this would be that they're casting, if it's even magic at all. But you manage to disrupt it enough that you only take half damage, so that would be 5 psychic damage. And say, stay with me here.
Ah!
Don't leave me. As they look at their children now and they're starting to realize that everything around them is an illusion, and you are the only real thing here. Don't leave me alone in here.
Look, you are dead, and this is indeed your soul. And if you don't let me leave this instance, I will leave by my own means, and I'll corrupt it from the outside, and make sure you shall never be reincarnated as well.
Is that an intimidation
yes,
check?
Yes, it is.
By all means.
21.
Ooh.
This figure, previously solid, goes a little bit more spectral and just shrinks back in their armchair. Corallon's ever fix it, asshole, fine. Leave me here. Leave me here to my fate, whatever it already was. They kind of look down and pluck at this red splot on their shirt. Some kind of blood, and they look at it and they go, fine, get out. Get out now and don't you dare come anywhere near me again.
Guards!
Everyone leaves. As you're all leaving and getting through the doorway, Pren just stands up, turns around, hurls another spell at...
Counterspell.
Excellent, it's gone. It's like a cantrip or something. It wasn't doesn't much. You just counter this last one and you all step through the doorway.
Actually, considering the short amount of time we have and the never-changing truth that players will throw you off your game when you're DMing...
Sorry!
I've actually used this opportunity to greatly increase and change my style of DMing towards improv. Most of the things I run are at least 85% improv. And that's like a very good skill to have as a GM or DM. And I would recommend everyone to try a game with a time crunch, because you'll start doing things much different. Actually, Raya, you've played in one of my most recent games.
Yes, I did.
Which I showed up 20 minutes late with 1d20 and a couple of d6s.
Which is not standard in London RPG community,
it is not.
By the
it
way.
It was the first time I was late in 2 years of being part of this community. As a DM, yeah. Player, no. But yeah, literally, that session, I thought about what I was going to do on the DLR to our venue. And did you notice?
Yeah, I noticed that you were flying by the seat of your pants, but you were doing it so gracefully. And I think that's, as a player, knowing how little time we have, I've been trying to look at every session as more I'm listening to what's going on and not necessarily trying to railroad it into let's haggle over the price of this horse.
I don't want to be mean to anyone.
No.
Sorry, Darius.
No, but
it
like,
was very fun.
It's one of those things, in an ongoing home campaign, you can be more liberal with your time like that. But when you're trying to get from A to C, but you're still stuck at A and you're not even going to get to B, it's difficult. And we all want to get to where the main action is going to be, but I know everyone also wants to have that role play element as well. So I find sitting back and listening, not just like not being inactive, but active listening to what's being discussed at the table, and sometimes just being like, and I'm going to go over here to drive this story plot, is sometimes, as a player and a character, I choose to do, to be like, I'm aware that the DMs are in need of that extra nudge. I'm like, I'm just going to go over here.
Side note,
bless
we've
you
been...
for that. As a DM, bless you.
Side
I
note,
try.
I must say we've been all very kind to our DM today for the session. We didn't got off the rail at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lie. As an example of how you plan a session when you know, you, like, what I try and have maybe at least only 40% improv, but I've got some more structure going on. But for the session today, which you're listening to and you're going to greatly enjoy, dear listeners, there are in fact two full encounters which are entirely removed because everyone was just having so much fun talking to each other, like really getting into the roleplay of what's going on, which is phenomenal. I plan encounters if it's needed. Combat is if it needs to happen, it happens. Otherwise, whatever, we're getting through a story and it's about how you interact with that. So there's the whole thing that is completely lifted out of it because it didn't need to happen. And it's not the important thing that people are there for. Bodar, you've been in this room for a couple of minutes now.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad I'm not with the poet anymore.
You're instead in a large, much more solid stone structure.
Oh, bless Baronat Lucilva.
It is still not solid, but you understand that the walls are meant to be stone. It is largely translucent, but the crowd here, who are all completely ephemeral, they could be anyone. They all appear to be dressed quite nicely, quite finely. This is very obviously a ruling court. There is a throne on a dais to one end of the room, and there seems to be some kind of function going on. As you look around, Cheryl comes through the door a moment later.
Ooh. Okay, this is very different from the first one.
It might be some kind of judgment. Maybe old baby is guilty of something.
Do I get a read on the room at all?
Make me an insight check.
Okay. 9!
They are spectral figures, and they seem pretty generic. They seem to be gathering and mingling in the most generic of ways.
I'll turn to you and say, I don't know we should necessarily interact directly this time. Maybe we could just shimmy off to the side over here, wait until we see something a little bit more solid?
Sure, but I like to have a look.
My background is law enforcement and investigation. So you said a court. Did you mean a court like a court where you receive people or a court of ruling?
A court where you receive people.
Oh, okay. So I know masonry and this sort of things quite well. Can I tell if this reminds me of a specific culture I might have heard of?
Make me an investigation check.
Ooh, 22.
You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that this masonry is not correct. If this was built, it cannot be real. And so if this is a place of memory, whoever this memory is by doesn't know stonework, because this is constructed really poorly. If this was real, this castle would have fallen down.
I don't know if this baby is evil or what, but don't ever give him a job as mason.
Okay.
It's at this point the two of you stumble through into the room with a group of 4 zombies still with you.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
As you arrive, you enter a bit.
Right, look at this. This arch is remembered all wrong. It's all upside down. The apex is on the side. It doesn't make any sense.
This should have fallen at least 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
You know about rocks, we get it. Fine.
Okay, so I am now ready to postulate a theory about what is happening.
Okay.
We've been thrown in some kind of pocket dimension made by the artifact that is connected to the baby. And we were in the previous life, I think the most recent, and now probably we are in the next one. So we need to find out what happened here.
Right.
But I have the tiny sensation that the previous lives of the soul weren't as pleasant as the poet one.
Why do you think that?
Well, if anything, the poetry might have been indication that some
exactly.
previous lives weren't very nice.
Okay.
Yes, but alas, that life, the poet one, I think it was the most recent, and it didn't really impact. So what we are doing here is just wasting our time.
It's at that moment that a figure drops from some place higher up in this room, lands next to the figure seated in the throne, and plunges some kind of blade into their neck. There is commotion in the room, and this figure, which is
relatively solid. Not as solid as Pren was. Darts through the crowd, pushing past everyone, and pushes straight past the four of you and out a corridor.
Follow.
Excellent.
Same.
You see this young female figure push past you, go into the hallways, as you turn and begin to chase after. Let's do a skill challenge. This means you will each do a skill check against a DC we are looking for. Well, let's do 9 successes before you get 5 failures. The DC is, for this group, let's call it 14. You will make a skill check which is relevant in some way. You can justify a lot of things, though. It cannot be something anyone has done this round.
Thamira is just gonna start running behind the figure with a athletics check. Natural 20?
Natural 25. 20. You discover that in this place of necromantic thought, you've never felt so fleet. Your every step is just fueled by your own innate magic, and your zombie horde is keeping up as well in perfect time.
In other words, you dig the vibe.
Yes. Bodar.
Bodar is going to take a pouch of his side, spill it in one of his hand. It's a very black powder.
Paramount to silver, guide me towards the evil. Take me to the one whose soul is as dark as this coal.
Blowing the dust of coal from his hand, and he's going to fly towards that person, who I assume is evil. I'm using my detect evil and good.
Make me a religion check. Divine magic using its religion.
7.
It's interesting, because the spell doesn't seem to work quite as well in this realm, as if everything around you is only a memory, and so not necessarily thoroughly detectable. But even so, you reach out, and you're not convinced that memory is of an evil individual. But regardless, it doesn't really work very well, and you're left not knowing where they're going. Cheryl.
I am giving chase. However, I am going to use my harp and pluck some notes that are more discordant, and I would like to cast Crown of Madness on the figure. Could I use Arcana maybe for
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. As you are trying to make this spell work despite the fact there is no mind there to affect, so you're trying to influence this memory in some way.
Can I use my inspiration?
You have. If you have inspiration, now you absolutely can.
That is still only a 13.
Oh, that is 2 failures, and good, someone else is keeping track. Your spell goes out and the figure almost glitches out for a second. It fizzles, but then keeps going, unaffected by the spell. But you're still running, you're still trying to keep up, but just not making any headway. Xena.
Xena is going to step towards the escaping figure, and she's going to cast Thaumaturgy on her voice so that it becomes
very deep.
And she's going to shout,
I will rip your guts out if you don't stop.
Okay. Damn. Is this an intimidation?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shit.
That is indeed a 12.
Excellent. Oh, excellent. It echoes. When your voice just carries into this seeming void and seems to have no effect as you keep running.
Did anybody at least notice that?
Everyone around you did.
We are scared. The figure is not.
Thamira.
So Thamira at this point sees that spell didn't work. A spell didn't work. A spell didn't work. Wait. This is just a artificially built place. This is a construct. I will try and understand the magic behind this and manipulate my will to just move to a different location closer.
I'll give you a straight intelligence check.
Okay, I'll go with that. Nope. 11.
This figure is gaining on you. As you're busy, like, you kind of slow down, being, I can do this. I can do it with my mind. And then you realize, no, I have to move my legs. What's Bodar going to do?
Tamira is right. None of this makes sense when Baronald Trusilver is not among us here. Okay, all right. You want to play? Let's play.
I'm going to use my investigation and try to picture in my head that person fleeing. Try to picture where that assassin is probably heading to hide out, knowing the practice of this sort of individuals, concentrating very hard on a hideout
some people would leverage this with insight, but investigation makes sense. You're drawing on your investigative history to be able to say, where would an assassin like this be going?
7.
But this is an elf in a castle you don't understand. You've never even seen a castle of this construction before. You come from a fortress and have never left.
I mean, it's so bad with masonry, there might be meeting on the ceiling as well.
Who knows? The figure is getting further and further into the distance. You turn a corner and you don't know where they've gone. What do you do?
Return my voice back to normal. Sorry about that.
That wasn't what I was expecting, but...
Maybe that wasn't the person. Maybe the person was who got killed.
I don't think so. I would expect that the person from the vision is always the most knitted one, because you remember yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe the person was the employer.
I think so. I think that might be the case. Well,
We can't really make a judgment of that, though, without knowing, so...
Can I go a little bit away from everyone discussing things? I don't quite remember the poem that Pren read out loud, but can I try to play my harp with a sad melody and try to say the poem, but like sing it out and open just to try to call them, I guess, maybe call them back?
Interesting. Give me a performance check.
19.
You add a layer of kind of minor key to this poem. All who learn to love in life are lost. So it ends up being this quite bouncing wave of a tune. You're not exactly getting quite the same echo. There's something in that, using that same thread of the soul. Something pulls you down. Even as you look down at the floor, that floor is quite translucent. It feels like something that way is more solid.
Okay.
That's where you feel that grounding, that place where the only bit where that noise is echoing off of almost is that way.
I'll keep playing, but I'm kind of gesturing with my head, being like, this way, guys! Maybe even pointing with my toes. Look, let's go this way as I keep playing.
If I manage to comprehend what Cheryl is trying to point.
Charades.
We'll follow that way.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that Raya's point about listening is a huge one as a player and as a DM. It's been really helpful for me to learn and listen to my players. And as Nuno said, DMing this kind of one-shots that are time-limited is really playground to improve your DMing skills. So I always describe Kantas as DMing bootcamp, because this is where I started DMing, and you get the most multi-skill experience as a DM that you will probably ever get. I really, really like having that as my first DMing school, let's say. So that's what I wanted to add.
If you're feeling that there are times during the game at the table that you aren't necessarily getting all that you really want out of it, which sometimes I even will admit, I feel like, oh, I maybe should have stepped up or said something there, but the moment passed and we were already moving on in the story and, you know, the plot advancing is important. This is when the write-ups afterwards are so important. And I think no matter what your skill for writing is, do it for yourself. Because that is where I've been getting a lot of my character development and discoveries in. Because as wonderful as it is to play actual table and see people's faces and instead of doing it online, I find that those write-ups for me really have helped me figure out, oh, my character is going in a direction I didn't think she would go, and she's having this development of character that I didn't think would actually happen, but it's actually happening. This is fantastic.
It's a dimension in which I sadly don't have the time to go into at the moment, but there's a whole French-speaking community called Infinite RPG. It's text RPG thing, and it's interesting how Kantas is as much, if not more, I guess, a text RPG campaign as it is a, for lack of a better term, IRL campaign. That's the impression from the outside. By the way, side note, I was very excited when my players at Star Wars D6 told me, are we going to make a write-up? And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't have a write-up in a decade. Except you don't train them well because it never materialized.
So sad.
You should have given them a reason to do it, like inspiration or extra spell slot. You did.
I did. Well, maybe they didn't hear it properly. Maybe they hear it now. You'll have character points if you do it.
Well, maybe this podcast will guilt trip them into doing that.
So, Kentas, who wants to tell me about what's going on within Kentas in detail? Or can we delve into that? I guess Raya, maybe. Or maybe Andy.
I mean, I think Raya's perspective will be very interesting to see the perspective of, like, current events. But if you, I mean, you're looking for...
What's going on? The first time interacting with Kentas, it was a design committee situation, and we had to design a giant robot, and it was not my
thing. Oh, yes, the 24-player mega game. That was great.
It was
on the
impressive.
Day I lost my voice.
It was an impressive feat.
But anyway, Kentas is the premise of the campaign. Is it's a newly discovered continent by the people of Faerun. And they've set up a town here in the middle of what they think is nowhere, but have since discovered there's whole civilizations there. Kobolds have a whole city where they are thriving inventors rather than the downtrodden race they are in Faerun. We have recently discovered a whole kingdom or nation, because they've got more of a republic going on, of Minotaurs and Ergenasi, who've even interbred to make a kind of Ergenasi Minotaur crossbreed called Erators, because we're awesome. There's elves and dwarves, as you will discover in this very episode, the Galavir and the Vorsthold, who are very interesting communities. And basically, adventurers go from this central place every week, given quests by locals or by the council or by whoever, to go out and explore X and discover X and go on X quest. And we've structured it into seasons. So about every 6 months, we have a different theme going on. There might be any number of different random quests. This Tuesday, I'm going to Vorsthold with some players for no particular reason. Then one of the players wanted to go check it out.
You really want to come to Vorsthold? I mean, we've...
I mean, maybe they need to meet good old Bodar. I certainly think I'm going to investigate the necromancers, because that's just interesting. Who cares about the paladins? This season, season 5, because we've been going on for a while, is focused on the giants. And the fact that there is a war in Kolgoran, this Minotaur Ergenasi kingdom nation, fighting a bunch of giants. And this is a problem. Not so much for Daring Heights, they're miles away, but it's a problem for Kolgoran, and they're willing to pay adventurers to come help them. And so that's going to be marvelous, and I can't wait for everyone else to see what's going to happen.
As now we have this theme, this is like our season, our fifth season.
Season 5.
And so we already explored like a myriad of topics. The first one was with influence from the Shadowfell. The second one was an orcish.
The Shadowfell?
Yeah, the Shadowfell. The second one was an orcish invasion.
Yep.
The third one was about the rise of a hag to ultimate power. Fourth one was about the Feywild, and now it's about Kolgoran, this nation. And we have plans, Andy and I.
We have so many plans.
So many plans. So if you want to find out what happens, come and play.
Make me a group check for this. Either perception, investigation, or survival. I'll let you use any of those three.
Mm-hmm. 19.
Okay, thank God.
Which, looking at your faces, is probably right the average of rolls around the table.
Did anyone else get above a 10? No? No,
no
resounding
one.
Silence. I
another,
gave you three different skills.
Another natural one for a total of 4 investigation.
But tell me, Nuno, have you written any write-up recently?
You know what? No, because I haven't played recently.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, you know the direction you need to go, mm-hmm. but this is a ghost-like spectral castle, mm-hmm. and you don't know how to get that way. Well, you're mm-hmm. trying to find the doors and the passageways. Eventually, Bodar, you manage to find a staircase leading down, and you begin to follow it. But it takes you the better part of 20 minutes of wandering around.
Yeah, but time is a construct, you know.
Right?
Exactly.
And you eventually make your way past the dungeons and down into some sewers. And it starts to get more solid a little bit, just a touch. Gives you the idea that you're going in the right direction until you finally reach a point where you see the figure who you think might be the assassin just departing as a taller, very solid figure watches them go.
But as you approach, they drop to a crouch and turn with like blades drawn. Say, who goes there?
When you say they, you mean that single figure or several people?
The single figure.
Okay.
They start to back off down the corridor.
The assassin is gone now?
Yes.
Is the person the assassin was talking to?
Yes, is still there and is backing up very quickly.
Peace. Peace. We do not need you to be scared of us. We would just like...
You're obviously the guards.
We're not.
Look
do
at
I
us.
Look like a guard? I'm playing a harp.
You're obviously not the guards.
Exactly. Please.
Oh, of course, this has happened before. I see, I see. I'm dead, aren't I? This is a past... Oh,
yes.
This is creepy. I'm someone else's past life now?
Yeah, well, I don't like it either. So, what just happened here? You know, we sort of documenting what's been going on in your past life.
Why aren't any of you elves?
Because elf couldn't make it.
They hired us. We're basically researchers hired by elves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I take out a little ink and a quill. Can I write down your biography, please?
Gosh, this is creepy. Could you give me a charisma check?
I will inspire you with the music that I'm still playing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a D6?
14.
This. All right, let's... Wait, this is... No. All right. Wizard?
Yes.
I maybe also am a wizard.
Bard.
Obviously.
I'm not a wizard, but I'm a good listener.
Well, that's good.
If you like,
hang on. Let me see if I can get this. And they kind of just make a really weird face as they're trying to think really hard. And suddenly you're all sitting at a table in a tavern.
Oh.
I go, oh. Right.
Oh, much better. Much more pleasant.
Oh. Yes. Okay, this is... I get getting the hang of this.
Oh my gosh, do they serve margaritas here?
Hang on. Of course.
I love this past
life. I love margaritas. A pitcher of margaritas appears in the center of the table with a set of glasses.
And a quart stout.
I don't know what that is.
Never mind. It's a bit better than what I expected because this memory got off with a bad start, if you're asking me.
A tankard of ale appears in front of you. The moment you look at it, you can see that it is the plainest thing you've ever seen. You get the feeling this figure may not be a beer drinker, and so doesn't have any clear memories of beer.
Mm.
The margarita, though, however, tastes stunning. They had a lot of margaritas in their lifetime.
I will try to cheer with that person.
The glasses don't quite match up like a video game where the things kind of pass through each other,
yeah.
But it does clink anyway. I'm like, that's not okay. I mean, you're here, you're researching on behalf of elves?
Correct. Yes.
Hold on, I will spread some papers around the table.
Well, the thing is, it's not my thing, but you've been a very good poet afterwards. So,
really?
Yeah, so I guess they're researching that.
I can barely write, that's amazing.
Oh, that's okay, I'll write for you.
It's not my taste, but you write stuff and they like it.
It is very true, so...
That's great.
If you don't mind me asking, what would you consider be your line of work?
Spymaster?
Oh, I'm dead right. Ha. Huh.
Yes.
Can't touch me. So I run an assassin's guild, I suppose.
Okay.
You know, I like to think I've done quite well with my life.
Was it a choice from you, or is it the... You know,
I mean,
been unlucky and you fall in that trade, but...
Was it the pressure of society that led you to...
Yeah, definitely.
You don't love it at all, right?
You would be a product of your environment.
Let's go with that. Absolutely. I couldn't have resisted the siren lure of slipping into places unseen and killing people. It was... my name's Lara, by the way. Lara Benathar. I've been someone else after this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so this was hundreds of years ago. You're fine. We're good.
As I said, as you know, you are dead, so no point in lying. You do understand that, correct? No one's gonna put you in jail.
I mean, yeah.
We just want to glorify your life.
Yes.
Oh, well, in which case, let me tell you about how I've been the leader of a group of assassins.
Absolutely.
I like to take orphans off the street, usually elves, as they're usually having a bit of a hard time. They're usually confused before their first reflection, you know?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. Usually confused while their past lives are still kind of buzzing around in their head. And I just make sure that they're taken care of, they understand what's going on, they're able to transition into a fully functioning adult who knows how to kill people very efficiently.
And that last one that was...
Oh, yeah.
The victim, I mean.
Was
it a tyrant or?
Oh gosh, where were we? It was the castle who'd been.
It's a ballroom.
By the way, you should consider reading a few books about masonry that would help with.
She can't
with
read
memories.
I can read.
She just I thought you said have the skills for writing. Oh, all right.
I can see it. Can't recreate it. That's Redfur Keep. So that would have been. You know what? That's funny. I'm clearly dead because I honestly don't remember their name. Some ruler or another. I'm sure they were very interesting.
Very bad people.
Yeah, probably.
Now, in all seriousness, in all honesty still, what kind of contracts would you usually take? Something the best pay or just tyrants? Just
I'd probably avoid, like, if someone's like, will you please go and slaughter some puppies, I might ask for double or something, but... Like,
ah, but you would still obviously do it.
You know, no one's ever offered me a contract to kill a bunch of puppies.
That would be very silly.
That would be weird. But I like to think I have a couple of lines, but honestly, when you advertise yourself as an Assassin's League, they're only going to give you, like, as long as you set your rates high, they're not going to ask you to kill anything, you know, too small. It tends to be the high-priority targets.
Oh, a lot.
I mean, there's been a... Okay, full disclosure, there's been a couple, handful, baker's dozen, of, you know, like, young princelings and stuff, but...
Okay.
Nobles, right? I mean...
we got a thing where involved old. It's a character test, so let's say picture a sort of a grid with, on one side goes from being rueful and chaotic... And on the other, good to evil, where would you...
Oh, that's interesting. That's
a chaotic good? I mean, do you steal the rich to give to the poor?
I mean, I'm definitely not lawful. Although I keep to contracts. So... But I also break a lot of laws. So probably the middle of that.
Neutral?
I mean, I'm good at what I do.
Yeah, no, that's not the way it works.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm not... Evil is such a strong word. I mean, I help lots of orphans.
You do, really.
I get them into a paying job. Yeah, they're all very wealthy and prosperous now.
Yeah,
those that survive. So let's go neutral in the middle.
Neutral
in the middle. Definitely in the middle.
Inside check.
Sure.
I don't think you need that inside check.
I don't. My character might. That would be 12.
They're definitely on the southern edge of true neutral. They're trying to sell themselves.
Okay.
If you're going to be recording them for history, they don't want to go down as some evil root.
Right.
Clearly they've got... Maybe there's a redemption arc here. You don't know.
So gotcha. I have come to the understanding that it's actually quite rude to ask elves about their past lives, but I will ask just one tiny question.
Oh, right.
Do you have any memories of your previous incarnations?
You see, it would save us a bit of time because that's where we're heading to, so...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I would guess.
Oh, like through that door, probably. And you see this big gray door.
Yeah, that's the one.
Looks like...
But
if you have any information...
That's pretty creepy. I'm saying creepy a lot, I'm sorry, but it is.
It's fine.
I don't know, it's...
beautiful magic.
It's not wet, so...
For an assassin guildmaster, you have a low threshold for creepy.
Fair. I mean... You know, I mean, but you know, there's different kinds of horror, you know?
Oh, I know.
You're a bard, and you must also, I kill people for a lot of money, and I get orphans off the streets and killing more people for money.
And about the past lives, there's nothing you can remember.
No, not really.
Okay, I think we are done here.
The book. Oh, I can tell you, I only have one. I think I'm the second.
Oh.
Why do you think that?
That is useful information.
At least, as far as I'm aware, I remember there was only one, like, voice, as it were.
Oh, is that all that works?
Well, apparently.
Well, thanks for your time.
I think I'm version 2.
Well.
New and improved.
Yeah, right?
2.0
I am efficient AF.
Well, we'll find out once we find out who the first one was.
Oh, yeah. Probably some warlord or something.
I'll collect all the papers I was writing the biography on.
Well, thank you for your time, and we'll get in touch, I guess.
Will we?
Probably not, no, but...
When
you know how this works.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... Oh, Corlon's fixed butthole, what is this? Anyway, what are you doing? So, I guess have a good time. I'm going to sit here and be dead for all eternity. This is great. I mean, you don't want another round?
I don't think you stick around for a long time. We don't want to spoil things for you, but you might.
I could show you some past murders. Pretty gruesome.
Nah, just not really my thing.
There was the triple monarchs of, no?
No.
I'm going to make my way towards the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are on the clock here a bit. Oh, so.
Fine. Well, all right then. Lovely to meet you all. I don't know if I have the capacity to remember you.
Probably not.
Lovely to meet you, though. Thank you.
I can't say I care, so goodbye.
This episode included Illumination, Laburnum, and Dark Alleys by Kai Engel. And of course our theme song, Solta of Rango by Bonde d'Oro. All these songs are available via the Free Music Archive, which is up and running now with their search engine and everything. So much good music, and again, amazing artists like Kai Engel. The episode also included some soundscapes, Xanatar's Lair and Town Tavern by Sword Coast Soundscapes, which you can find via their YouTube channel. The logo of the Rollies podcast is designed by Rollin Kunz, and you can find it for t-shirts, notebooks, apparels, and a number of very cool, what do you call that, items, mugs, even cushions. You will find not only the logo, but more art by Rollin Kunz there, which he made for the show. So you can get your friend computer t-shirt, your Nephilim Trojan notebook, and even a couple t-shirts I designed myself, like the It Was All Fun and Games Until Someone Failed a Saving Throw. I hope you enjoyed this part 3 dedicated to London RPG community. Obviously, I cannot recommend enough to go check their meetup group if you are based in London. They got now 3, maybe 4 branches. They got one in Bad Moon Cafe in Southwark, one in Limehouse, and one in Bethnal Green. I think there's even a 4th I've never been to, but all of these have weekly games. So yeah, that's a lot of games that you can join. And if you cannot join these games, or on top of joining these games, you could join our monthly Not Drinks and Dice. You will meet several members of London RPG community there as well. People from Phoenix Games Club and maybe Roleplay Heaven. It's on the first Wednesday of the month at Bad Moon Cafe, and the next one is on March the 4th. If you are not in London, maybe you are in Milton Keynes? And I've got an announcement. The Rollies podcast will be attending for the very first time Concrete Cow, which is a convention I've heard a lot about. Apparently it's very welcoming and friendly, and there's a lot of games going on there, and it's fully dedicated to tabletop role-playing games, so I really look forward to attending. It's a single-day convention. Let me fetch the date for you in case you would be interested. If you're in London, it's not far, it's not too expensive to get there. It's on Saturday, March 14th, so yeah, Concrete Cow. And I also booked my train ticket already. You need to do it early, otherwise it's expensive, to go to UK Games Expo. I won't be there for the full 3 days. I will be there only on Friday. I missed it a lot this year, seeing all the tweets and posts and Instagrams and so on from people who were attending while I couldn't. So I really look forward to being there again, even if it's just for a single day. If you would like me to attend more conventions, I mean, I'm doing my best with the time and my current financial situation, but maybe you could consider supporting the show via Patreon. You don't need to support it with a vast amount of money. Just a single dollar or a single pound per month goes a long way, especially when there's several of you. It might not seem like much, but when it adds up, that's really what allows me to say, okay, yeah, I can afford this train ticket, or maybe I could afford this flight maybe to somewhere further and cover my expenses and so on. On current goal is to get enough money on the site for a new website. We achieved that goal at some point, and then yeah, some patrons left because the modes of payments, there were some rumors about it on Patreon. It's a bit silly, but yeah, that's when we lost a few patrons. We dropped from, I think it was around 50, I think we peaked at $50 per month, and now we drop back to $23 per month, which is already very generous, and I'm so thankful for that. But it resulted in me, well, when the money arrives and I spend it on a convention, I never was able to put enough on the site to have a proper new website, because I would like to do things properly, you know, pay decently whoever's doing it for me and have something of a professional level.
So yeah, so that, and yeah, there's even the goal after that, which is there, recording episodes of the show dedicated to individual game shops, first in London, then elsewhere in the UK, and in other places in Europe. I mean, we already did one about Stratagema, already recorded one in Trollen. I took advantage of personal travels, but yeah, if we had a bit more support on Patreon, we could do that a bit more. And actually, if you have a game shop and you're supporting us via Patreon, let me know. If you're helping us reach that goal, I will be more than happy to visit your shop and make an episode about it, quite simply. So if you're listening, Orcsnest, Leisure Games, and Fan Four Boys, what is it called in Manchester? It looks quite cool. Yeah, Grogmeet, that's another convention I'm missing. I really wish I could attend again. I mean, it was easier before me and Christelle had a child, so that's why also it's a bit more difficult and expensive for us to do these things. Anyway, if you do support us via the Patreon, you will get something out of it, not just supporting us make more content, but you will have access to Café Rollist, our bonus show, of which now we've got 84 episodes, and the last episode was 1 hour long. Not all of them are that long. Some of them are recorded at London Ludwigs and Dice. Often they record it with Akadosh. According to Percy Villa, she likes it even better than the main show. So yeah, if you're curious, you could just go with £1 for 1 month, check them out, and then you work out whether you're happy or not to continue supporting us. If you're happy with that extra content, that's it. If you cannot support us financially, that's fine. What matters is to have you as listener. If you enjoy the show, please share it with whoever you can, anywhere you can. Consider leaving a review on iTunes or Podchaser. That helps a lot to find new listeners. And we don't actually have a lot of reviews on iTunes. We've got maybe a dozen of them. I mean, something like a dozen in the UK, a dozen in the US, 2 in France, none in Spain, none in Germany, none elsewhere. So if you're in China, go ahead and just leave a little rating, a little note, and it will make me so happy. And I will read it on the show. Yeah, I think it's been a couple of months since I last had a review to read here on the show. One last thing you can do, not only to support the show, but to be aware of everything we do, not only all the shows we release, but also having some insight on what is upcoming, what events we're going to attend, and what events we maybe organize. There's the newsletter now, the Rollist newsletter, and there's a new feature in it. We're going to take advantage of the monthly London Ludwigs and Dice to gather gossips. Gossips about the RPG industry, about the RPG community in London and around, and we're going to include them in the newsletter. So little facts about not only the show, but what is going on in London and elsewhere regarding tabletop roleplaying. And that's it for our part 3 of our episode dedicated to London RPG community. Next month we'll be back for the second and final part of our episode 38 dedicated to Dragonmead. And then after that we'll be back for the final episode of episode 37 with the conclusion of our adventures in Kentus. Thanks again for listening. See you next month. And in the meantime, have good games. Alegria da moçada da perua favelada. Nosso som é fantasia pra mamãe, vovó, titia. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra vesti.
Vai, Batuque!
Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente.
Very good. What skill are you leveraging for this purpose?
Arcana is just like...
Arcana's been used this round.
It's a different round. I am the beginning of the round, no?
Not since you last went.
Wait, what?
Otherwise, you get to use whatever you want for free.
No, because I'm the first one.
Yeah.
So okay, I've always did this wrong then.
Yeah, otherwise it always resets and you can always do whatever you want. You have no restrictions apart from what you've done.
If I'm the first?
Yeah.
But, okay, so it's not. It's until you, the end of your next turn, not a round. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Right, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Until the end of your next turn, because otherwise, you always have an advantage, and Xena always has the worst off.
And that conversation goes into the editing bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
okay.